If you don't know Louis Anderson from Louis C.K., Charlie Chaplin from Tina Fey, Don Rickles from Nichols and May, if you feel confused and you don't know who to ask, I've got your new favorite podcast. 'Cause they're nerds, nerds about comedy. Justin and Dan, they are uncommonly knowledgeable about S&M. Kids in the Hall and Saved by the Bell. They're nerds, nerds about funny stuff. Stand up and sketch, they just can't get enough. Tell all your friends, go tell your mama she should drop everything. Listen to the Comedy Nerds.
Well, hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to the Comedy Nerds. I'm Dan McInerney.
I'm Def Diodato.
And thank you, Jeff Shear, for our new theme song that you just heard.
Yes, for the first time they've been having an episode kicking off season 4.
Awesome.
What we're in. We're in season 4 now.
That's nice.
Yeah. One more season till we get syndicated.
And then we can let it all go to hell.
Yes.
We made the big bucks on
yep.
it. This week, in light of The Hangover 2 being released and making a bazillion dollars.
Being the biggest, it's like the biggest R-rated release, of all time.
Yeah. Neither of us.
Something like that.
Yeah. Neither of us saw it. But yeah. In light of it, we're going to be talking about the greatest comedy sequels of all time.
Yes.
Because it's a tough thing to pull off. I think probably.
It beat The Matrix. The Matrix.
comedy sequel is a hard thing. Probably the hardest genre to pull off, I would say. Which, without really thinking about it too much. But we're going to talk about that. But before we do that, as is customary, we're going to talk about some news, probably in a comedy vein, almost like a comedy news kind of thing. So, Dustin, let's start with you. What do you got?
Oh, what do I have? What do I have? What do I have? Oh, Anthony Weiner. Unless you were in a cave of some kind,
yeah.
You heard that Anthony Weiner perhaps tweeted a picture of his wiener.
Perhaps he did.
He cannot neither confirm nor deny.
Yeah.
That we know that there was a wiener,
mm-hmm.
But we can neither confirm nor deny that it was his wiener. He can neither confirm nor deny that it was his wiener.
He said, "What did he say? I can't say in certitude."
Yes,
which I don't. Is that
who uses certitude?
Is that a word?
Nobody uses certitude
because that sounds like a 13-year-old girl making up words.
Yeah,
maybe it's a real word, but it doesn't sound like it is.
Yeah,
so.
It sounds like something from what was that movie? Clueless.
Right, exactly.
Sounds like something like that character would all of a sudden pretend when they're trying to sound smart.
Yeah.
So, yes.
So Grody to the max is what he probably should have said.
The reason that I bring it up specifically is because I feel like Jon Stewart is handling it poorly.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is if it was any other human being in the world, Jon Stewart would have ripped into them.
Mm-hmm.
But because he knows Anthony Weiner, he's being really cool with it. And I think that negates sort of what he normally does.
Mm-hmm.
It is a little hypocritical for him to not dig into this guy just because they are friends, because that's what he critiques Fox News for.
Yeah. Well, I mean, first of all, you know, and this may be, you know, people out there may be rolling their eyes if they're not a fan of Jon Stewart. It's the difference between Daily Show and Fox News is that Fox News is supposed to be the news. The Daily Show is under no compulsion to, you know, follow a story and treat everything equally. It's a comedy show. And so
true.
I mean, I don't think that he was actually going that easy on him. Maybe he was going easier than other comedians were, but I actually liked that the story was Jon Stewart being like, or the bit I should say, was Jon Stewart being like, I know this guy, and so I don't want to attack him too much, but then that the tension between them, because then he would sort of be like, I don't want to say anything, and then the little graphic next to him would pop up this, you know,
yeah,
joke, and he'd be like, all right, we had to do it, you know.
But what Jon Stewart will frequently tell you is that what he's doing is he's critiquing the media,
right?
And even though it's a comedy show, he's sort of obligated to play by the rules that he sets forth, don't you think?
No, I'm not saying, but I don't know if he's not, though. I mean, because, I mean, the other thing would have been to say, you know, I mean, I think he's being truthful in saying, I think, okay, here's what I'm trying to say. I think where he would have been wrong was if he went easy on him and then never said, hey, I know this guy. But the fact that he's sort of like recusing himself saying, look, I know this guy, I don't want to attack him, that hard and kind of putting it out there. You know what I mean?
Right, but
as opposed to Fox News being like, Sarah Palin's the best, and they were saying like, oh, by the way, we all really like Sarah Palin. You know, that's, we're going easy on her because we all really like her.
Yeah, but she's on their network. I mean, it's right. Not like they're hiding the fact that they like her. She's on the payroll.
Right.
You know, so they're essentially doing what Jon Stewart's doing.
Right, but I'm saying that they say they're fair and balanced, you know. Or let's say, you know, okay, she's on the payroll, so let's take that off. Let's talk about, like, when George Bush was president, and all they would ever talk about is good stuff about George Bush and ignore all the bad stuff.
Yeah.
You know, that'd be one thing if they were like, look, we're just going to tell you the good stuff about George Bush. Like, we really like the guy, and so we want to paint him in a good light. But they said, oh, no, this is all, we're being completely fair and balanced, and, you know, and we're giving you the straight story, which wasn't true. Whereas, like, Jon Stewart's like, look, I'm not going as hard as I could because I know this guy. And yeah. I mean, I thought actually the stuff was hilarious. I love him. Like, they showed the clip of him being like, of a wiener being like, you know, I can't say for sure that's my penis or not. And Jon Stewart being like, are you seriously, dude, you're making this so hard on me to not like destroy you right now.
Hard on.
So, boom. So, yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with you, but you know, I think it could have been a lot worse. And it's also a tough thing. I mean, you know, like, if I had a show and you showed your penis to someone, I would feel weird ripping into you. Like, I mean, he's still a human being. You know what I mean? Like, I understand, you know. And he's not, again, he's not under any, I don't know if I can think of the word, but he's not under any compulsion to be honest and, like, tell you the straight story. It's a comedy show, you know.
I know. I just think that he has a moral obligation to do it because of the way that he has lived his life.
All right. Fair enough. I don't give you that one. All right, our second story is they're having something called Spike TV's Guy Choice Awards is having a reunion of the cast of Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Okay,
which is cool, I guess. They're getting inducted into the Guy Movie Hall of Fame, which must be amazing. But the news story here is that Sean Penn has agreed to come back for a reunion with the cast. You know, he's sort of skyrocketed off that little planet called Fast Times. And now it's hard to believe that the guy from, you know, all these like Milk and all these great movies is the guy who's hitting himself with a shoe in Fast Times. But it happened. So he's going to be back. Jennifer Jason Leigh will not be there. I guess because she's still upset about getting that abortion from having sex in that dugout with that guy she never saw again. You know. Just every time I see that movie, I'm like, oh, don't do it. Don't do it. And Phoebe Cates will not be back. Probably because she's really tired of talking about that pool scene.
Yes.
I know it. I'm glad it helped you become a man, but I'm done talking about it. But
I'd like to say, because I've done so many other things since then, but I don't know what other things she's done since then. I'm sure she has.
What? Gremlins? A little movie called Gremlins?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I say, like, as though that wasn't 25 years ago.
That's...
You know that current movie, Gremlins?
That's what I was getting at,
Dustin,
kind of.
That movie that just came out called Gremlins. Anyway, here's my point. Kudos to Sean Penn. For saying...
Yeah, no,
I'm just Jenny from the block. I'm not forgetting where I came from. I came from Fast Times, and maybe I'm doing Milk, and, you know, I Am Sam, where I'm crying and doing all kinds of winning Oscars. Like, is everyone Oscar? He must have, right?
Yeah.
Winning Oscars like nobody's business. But, yeah, at one point, I ordered a pizza in class, okay? Mm-hmm. And I pissed off Mr. Hand. And let's not pretend like I did. So, that should be fun.
Yeah.
Is this the one, by the way, we talked about this a while back, where, like, Bill Murray showed up in the Ghostbusters costume? Was that the same thing?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought that was on Spike TV. And I was like, what is Spike TV?
Spike TV has an awards thing like every week.
Every four weeks.
Okay. Right, there's, the Video Game Awards. There's the Guy's Choice Awards. There's the, you know, Tough as Nails, I'm gonna fight you with my fists awards.
All right.
Like, they love awards.
Awkwardly titled, but I like it.
Yeah, I know the graphic took forever to make, I'm sure.
What do you got?
Leslie Nielsen decided to it came out this past week, he decided to take comedy all the way to the grave. And on his tombstone it says Leslie Nielsen, the dates of his life, and let her rip.
Yeah, which is a fart joke.
Fart joke, yeah.
On his tombstone.
You got to admire the fact that that he went with a fart joke on his tombstone.
I do admire it. Was that in his will? How did they know that he wanted that?
That's true. It's possible. I think it was in his will.
All right.
I don't think it was like his widow or whatever.
It was like, you know what he like?
He did love farting.
Let's put that on there.
Yeah. Well, I can't afford both beloved father and husband and let her rip. So I'm just going to go with the joke. Yeah. It's a very tiny tombstone. It's like a plaque on the floor.
Yeah, a lot of those are. I think those big tombstones are really only in like horror movies. You know what I mean? The kind that like are up to your waist and you're like, no, it's me in the grave the whole time. Ah, you go crazy. I feel like most of them are just
I already told my wife that I want a statue.
Oh, okay.
I want a statue of me.
You want like a mausoleum?
Yeah. Well, no, I want a statue of me.
Okay.
And I want a solar panel on the back of my head that you can't see. That's powering a motion sensor in my eyes.
Yeah.
That follows around people when they're walking in the cemetery.
Yeah.
So that I'm always looking at you.
Mm.
And I think that will give people something to talk about and creep them out.
Yeah.
And it would keep teenagers from having sex anywhere near my tombstone.
Would it?
Yes.
Or would it just have would it just have the freaky ones who like to be watched?
That's
right?
True.
You know what I'm talking about. Huh? Yeah. Good
But they're probably better looking because they like to be watched. Gross people don't like to be watched.
I don't know about that. Well, tell you what. We'll have to ask your death statue when the time comes. So we'll be like, hey, death statue of Dustin's. How people like to be watched by statues.
That's
better
true.
Looking than average.
I should probably webcam it.
Worse looking than average. I say just die right now. Let's get the show on the road because we got some research to do.
Yeah, I'm still saving for that.
Tombstone. Oh, okay. All right.
I'll just fake my own death. That way I could be part of the fun.
I'm saving for a tombstone. A pizza? What? Okay, it's my turn? Probably. They have a Saturday Night Live in Japan now. Japan has its own version of Saturday Night Live, joining Italy and Spain's version of Saturday Night Live. I had no idea that they were franchising this thing. I had no clue. So I don't know anything about it. Other than it's a comedy show, it's Saturday Night Live, but it's the Japanese version.
Yeah.
I would love to see, you know, some of them.
You wouldn't understand it at all.
True, but I mean, you know, it's like, do they like a monologue and then
and a musical guest and all that. Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy. It seems like you could just kind of do that. You know what I mean? Like, it's
like you don't need to.
It's kind of just a variety show.
Right. No, but that's true. But it comes with a notoriety. Like, you could...
So they could call it Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, you could just sell hamburgers and french fries. But if you put McDonald's next to it, people will come in.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So they're just trying to buy the, you know, buy the name.
Right, exactly. Okay, what do you got over there?
Oh, okay, there's a new movie that... a new Christian movie coming out. Christian comedy.
My favorite kind.
Which is always... Yeah, it's always a good start. The producers are calling inspired by the Apatow genre of movies.
All right.
It is called The Waiting Game.
Mm.
And it is basically about a guy who is saving himself from marriage.
Yeah.
He's all excited. He's about to get married. And just before he gets married, his wife decides to run off with some other man.
Oh.
So it's very much like the beginning of Happy Endings, the new...
Yeah.
Except the guy's not on roller skates.
Right.
And they're not virgins.
Okay.
So the reason I bring it up is because, A, it sounds awful.
Yeah.
And B, Ted Haggard is in it, who's that evangelical minister or whatever they are, who is disgraced. Like, he was basically like, everything is wrong and everyone's a sinner and everything's bad. And then it turned out he was buying gay prostitutes.
Right.
And he had to leave.
Yeah.
Because apparently when you say that gayness is wrong... And then you turn out to be gay. Yeah. People don't like it. And so he has a very, like, Lance Armstrong in Dodgeball-esque cameo.
Okay.
It looks so bad.
Now, do you think they would just cut him out, right? Because isn't that going to hurt them trying to sell it to Christian people? They're like, oh, here's this Christian guy who turned out was... super gay and was having gay sex with gay prostitutes.
Right. Well, no, the way the scene works out, the guy says, you know, that's it. I'm just gonna do whatever I want. Who's ever gonna find out?
Yeah.
And then it cuts to Ted Haggard going, I wouldn't do that if I were.
Oh,
you.
I see. It's a ba-dum-bum. Oh, yeah. Okay. Now I understand.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah.
That is super weird. It's supposed to him being like, yeah, I'll make a joke about it. Ruined my whole life and career. But
He's back though. He's still getting money from people.
He's back. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Worried about him.
The tagline at the end is abstinence has never looked so good. TheWaitingGame.com or The Waiting Game Movie or something like that.
Yeah.
Check it out. I think we should all go see it.
I love how anytime something becomes popular, then Christian people are like, we got to make our own version of this.
But it's got to be worse. And it's got to look ridiculous. That's the thing.
It's got to suck really hard. Let's not forget about that part. That's always the key ingredient in the Christian version of anything, is that it super sucks. Yeah. Mega hard.
Well, there's, you know, like in the scene in the 40-year-old virgin where like he's with a drunk lady and she's driving into stuff.
Oh yeah, that's what's her name?
Yeah,
Apatow's wife.
Yeah. Basically, there's a similar scene to that, except she's not. She seems kind of drunk, but she's like drunk on Christ. And
of course.
And somebody cuts her off, and she in the trailer you see somebody cuts her off, and she's just in the house in like on the lawn of the guy who cuts her off.
Yeah.
Screaming that he's got to find Jesus to drive better.
Okay.
So. I feel like we have to see this movie.
Yeah, that's actually a great idea.
I feel like we need to get very drunk and see this movie.
Okay. That sounds like fun. Yeah, I you know, it just seems like that's one of the things that Christianity and Apatow movies don't really seem like they go together. That'd be like, oh, you know what's popular? Death metal. Let's do a Christian version of that. Also, you know
that works, dude. Though. That
you know
works.
What else is popular? Porn. Let's do Christian porn. And by that, I mean nothing happened. They sit on the opposite end of the couch and talk politely about something. Right. Awesome. Well, The Waiting Game. We will. I will check that out.
Yes. I can't wait.
Do you remember when Archie Comics? Sorry.
One of the two guys who are making it are Emilio Martinez and Rich Prater. And I feel like Prater, really, I feel like that's a stage name. Putting pray in your name anyway
possible
go on.
I was gonna say that like back in the day they had but Archie Comics, they had like the Christian version of Archie Comics,
really,
it was Archie Comics, but then they were like had Jesus messages, and like I was a kid, I didn't know, I'm like reading Archie Comics and I'm like, why is Jughead praying, what is happening in this comic, this is so weird.
Was it the actual characters, or was it
it was the actual characters. They licensed the Archie character. Hold on. That's first. I'm going to blow your mind.
Okay.
The Archie Comics company, not the most, too worried about their brand identity. Not too worried about the integrity of their characters. This is what I'm trying to say.
My mind blown.
Have you ever seen Back to Riverdale or whatever it's called? Return to Riverdale? That movie, that horrible, where they were all adults and they were sad. Oh, the worst. Anyway, and this the worst.
Has anyone?
As compared to Archie Comics. Let me be clear here. Archie Comics are already terrible. And then these shoot-offs are so much worse than the actual Archie Comics. But yeah, anyway, there was like, I don't know, it was Christianity and like Jughead's praying and then Jesus comes and like saves the day in Riverdale. Insane. Completely insane. But as a kid, I don't understand that they just sold out and just gave them to some Christian company. So I'm like, this is a weird comic. I don't understand. Why is it Jughead eating hot hamburgers? What an odd, man. Anyway.
All right, so let's get into our topic.
All right, let's
For those of you that we neither of us have seen The Hangover, but it opened up to
We saw the original.
We saw the Hangover. Yeah, we haven't seen The Hangover 2. From what we're told, that means we've also seen the sequel. If we've seen the original,
yeah. Well, I don't want to badmouth it because I haven't seen it, but the criticism I've been hearing is that it's kind of basically the same movie.
Yeah,
they just kind of. Have all the same beats, just the details are a little different.
Right.
So.
And that got us to thinking about comedy sequels in general.
Right.
Can they be good? Which ones are good? Which are the best ones? What are the inherent problems with comedy sequels?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, like.
Well, actually.
The element of surprise is important.
Exactly. I was going to say, let's start there. What's element of surprise? You know, you're not expecting something that's funny. The sequel comes along, now you are expecting that thing, so it's harder to surprise the audience again.
Well, I think part of it is, I think for a comedy sequel, I think for almost any sequel, but for a comedy sequel specifically, whether or not it can pull off having a sequel is dependent on whether or not it was a good movie to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not it was actually a movie or a series of jokes.
Right.
You know, I think of like Ghostbusters 2. Ghostbusters 1 was a legitimate movie.
Mm.
So you could make a sequel to that movie and just have them evolve as people.
Right.
Whereas something like The Hangover is a lot harder because The Hangover is a series of vignettes.
Right.
It's a series, a small series of scenes, and you can do it again, but it's not going to be, because it was such a formula to begin with, it's not going to work as a sequel. It's going to be less surprising, and you're not going to be as passionate about it, I don't think.
Right. Although I would say now I like Ghostbusters too.
Right. I'm for Ghostbusters.
I was going to say was, here's another problem with the comedy sequel is most comedies, I would say probably all comedies or the vast majority of comedies have a happy ending.
Yeah.
Meaning Ghostbusters, losers save the day, right? And the happy ending, everyone's, you know, cheering, New York's all going crazy, whatever. The bad guy gets covered in marshmallow.
Right.
Everyone's happy. Ghostbusters 2 starts, and what do you got to do? Now they're schlubby losers again. And now they got to save the day again. You know what I mean? Where it's as opposed to being like, their story kind of ended at the end of Ghostbusters because they saved the day. They were heroes. Everyone was happy.
Right. Nobody
and then it's like, oh, by the
run.
Way, now we got to turn it all back around and everything sucks for them again. And then you kind of feel bad because you're like, well, now the Ghostbusters 2 ended and they're all happy. Did they go back to their life sucking again? I don't know, because it seemed like they were happy that the
like
Ghostbusters
you
1.
Have to, yeah.
And then at the end of the beginning of Ghostbusters 2, they hate their lives and everything sucks. So that's another problem where it's like, you know, in like a drama, like you can kind of like, well, it's a continuing story and stuff's still happening. Whereas like a comedy is more of like, everything sucks, now everything's great. And in order to do it again, you kind of have to say like, well, everything sucks again.
Yeah.
And now everything's, we got to make everything great. You know, I remember they talked about that. Another good movie is Ghostbusters. It's Back to the Future 2 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
And people are like, yeah, how come Marty McFly never mentions the fact that he doesn't like people calling him chicken in
2 and
Back
3?
Future, no, Back to the Future 1.
Oh, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it's just a huge deal in 2 and 3. And they're like, well, we kind of had to give him something to do.
Yeah.
Because he kind of solved all his life problems, like at the end of Back to the Future 1, like everything was perfect, so then we had to like kind of invent a new problem, which everyone suddenly knew about. It was always a big problem, even though they never mentioned it during the first movie. So that's another problem, is that like most comedies is like someone like learning something about themselves or like solving their problem, you know, and then once the problem solved, it's like, well, we have to invent a new problem.
Right. Well, I mean, that's going to be one of the dangers, because Bridesmaids has already been greenlit for a sequel.
Yeah.
And it's like, so you're just going to go to a different... Somebody else is going to get married, right? I mean, like, what...
Like, what else could happen?
Yeah. You know, and then you're going to go through this... You're like, you're going to have... It seems like, of course we're going to do it. Of course we're going to do it, because the first one was successful.
Mm-hmm.
But we shouldn't.
You know what, though? And you're probably absolutely right that they'll probably just, you know, do the same thing over again. But you know what they should do? I'm throwing this out there right now. Take it for free, Hollywood. Kristen Wiig gets married. Now it's her story of her craziness getting, you know what I mean? Like, she was the bridesmaid. Yeah. Now she's the bride. That's actually kind of a different story. So I'm just throwing that out there. Look, I'm a script doctor. Give me a call. You know, I'll do my best to try to get your script back online. Don't worry about it, you know.
Right, but know that if you do that, they have to hire both of us.
Yeah, no.
Anyone who hires you for anything is obligated to hire me.
Yep.
Right, so I just want to make sure.
You don't have to hire him.
Yes,
you do. Oh, shit, you can hear that?
Yeah.
Okay, listen. Later when the podcast is over, we'll talk more. But I'll drop in like a hot potato. Don't worry about that.
I have contracts.
Don't
I have lawyers. You have a team of lawyers.
What contract? You wrote that on a napkin.
So?
Okay.
Still legally binding.
Why did I sign that napkin? I really wanted that bottle of water yet. Okay. We're going to come back. And when we do, we're going to talk about the best. Who did the best? Who made a good comedy sequel? Who did a comedy and was like, let's do it again. Let's do a second one. And people were like, awesome. You did it. Nailed it. Love it. We're talking about the best. And then...
Spoiler alert. It's Porky's.
It's Porky's 2. And then we're going to...
Porky's 1 was good.
It's terrible. But we'll get there. And then we're going to talk about, if we have time, some of the ones that maybe not so good. Yeah. Porky's 2.
There's a bigger list of
Porky's
ones that are not
Porky's 2 might
so
be
good.
In there. Yeah, there's a giant list. But we'll talk about some of those. So we'll be right back.
All right.
Do you have a question or topic you would like to hear the Comedy Nerds discuss? Send us an email to info@thecomedynerds.com or stop by the site and click Contact Us at the top of the page. We look forward to hearing from you at thecomedynerds.com.
All right, we're back talking about the best comedy sequels of all time. I'm going to throw two out there. May not universally be the ones that people think of, but these are two that I absolutely love. And for the reasons we were talking about, completely different movies. First one, Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. Yes, people, I said it. You might think I'm a crazy person. go back and watch that movie. It's awesome. Okay. If you've never seen it or you don't remember, the first movie, they travel around in time. They pick up, they're picking up Lincoln. They're picking up Socrates. They're doing all this stuff. They have this big thing at the end. It's this big kind of wacky, funny time travel movie. Everything's great.
You can't do that again.
You can't. What are you going to do that again, right?
Right.
So second movie, crazy town. So this bad guy in the future sends back robot versions of them to kill them. Now, you would think most movies would be like, oh, let's, the whole time we're trying to avoid these robot versions of us.
Nope.
Who are trying to kill us. First 10 minutes of the movie, Bill and Ted die.
Yeah.
Go to hell in pretty creepy, scary scenes where they're in hell.
I know. Those are
really terrifying. Those scenes are terrifying. Okay. Escape hell.
Yeah.
Meet death. Fight him or whatever. They play games with him. Beat him every time. He has to let them go back to life. They meet God.
Right.
Get advice from God. Meet aliens in heaven. Dead aliens in heaven who come back to Earth to them. Build robot versions of Bill and Ted, good versions of them, who beat up the bad robots, and those robots are done, and then they sing the song that saves the world.
Yeah.
Insane. Completely insane. And it's hilarious, and it's weird, and it's completely different than the first one. And this is a movie I think is sort of forgotten unjustly. I think it's remembered as a bad sequel to a great movie. Wrong. I mean, completely different than the first one. So if you like the first one, you may not necessarily like the second one. I get that. But the second one is so great.
But I mean, you like them for their characters. I mean, part of it is the fact that you like their
characters. But it's not kind of the lighthearted, fun romp of the first.
No.
It's really funny, but it's also, it's so weird. No, like
that scene when they're in their own personal hells.
Yeah.
That's like a 10-minute block in the middle where there is no jokes. It's all just horrifying.
Well, it's funny for how, like, kind of weird and pedestrian their version of hell is, but it's scary.
Yeah,
like there's no,
when they're
fooling
being
around.
Chased by like the drill sergeant and the giant bunny and the grandmother.
That bunny is super scary.
Yeah,
and then it turns out that, like, I always forget which one's which. I think Bill is the one who's not Keanu Reeves. But anyway, he like pushed his sister down the stairs. That's like the backstory. Yeah. So he's like, he's in hell where the Easter Bunny like is gonna beat him up for pushing his sister down the stairs. Crazy. Crazy thing.
Right, and they're going to kill the prince. Like, they're going to murder the girls. That's part
right.
of it. Is that they are going to murder the princesses.
Yeah.
That is not a comedy movie. Nobody gets murdered in a comedy movie.
But the other thing, too, is like, I know it's ridiculous because the first movie has time travel, but that's kind of like, okay, that's sort of the one thing you accept. Like, they can travel in time, you know, and they have this phone booth or whatever. That's fine. But then the second movie, it's like, oh, yeah, also, there's hell and God and they're like ghosts sort of,
right.
And then there's like aliens in heaven and it's like, it's just crazy.
And
it's so crazy.
If you beat Death at Battleship and Twister, you get to come back to life.
You have sunk my battleship. That guy's great. The guy plays Death. I don't know who that guy is, but man,
when they sneak into heaven by attacking those other people and they come back in sundresses and stuff, it's awesome.
Oh, it's so good.
And they're making a third. So the question is, how do you make a third of that?
Okay.
Because it's got to be completely different from one and two.
So, yeah. Well, this is what I heard. I'm glad you said that because I kind of forgot about that. So I think what they're trying to do is the third one takes place in the future after their song Save the World, but then like something goes wrong and they have to save the world again with their awesome song.
Okay.
Yeah, it sounds like you're like, okay, this could happen. And now they're older, so like it makes sense. Like now they're legitimately like, you know, the ages they would be in the future or whatever. And I, you know, we were talking about Sean Penn before being like, yeah, I did a fucking Fast Times. What am I going to do about it? I love a Keanu. It's just like, yeah, I'm in. Let's do it. Let's do the third one. I'm not too big for it.
Right.
I'll do another one. I'll be right.
And the other guy's like, I've been waiting every day.
I'll put the smiley face jacket back on.
Yeah. I've been waiting every day for the last 25 years.
Yeah,
so let's
do it. Let's do it. Alex Winters is that guy's name, and he had a sketch show on MTV called The Idiot Box, which was amazing. Lasted one season, super funny. That guy's like just super weird dude. I think that's the thing too, like he sort of had a lot more to do with Bogus Journey, which is why it's super weird, because that guy's super weird. Next one, because we talked way too much about that.
Yeah.
Gremlins 2, the new batch.
You love Gremlins 2 so much.
Dude, it's so good. Okay, there's never been a movie, right, where the sequel to the movie was essentially like a Naked Gun-esque spoof of the first movie. It is insane. The first Gremlins is like pretty like, you know, it's a real movie. Like everything, you know, there's monsters in it and stuff, but it kind of makes sense. Like it holds together as a movie. In the second movie, Leonard Maltin shows up, reviews the first movie, gives it a bad review, and the Gremlins kill and eat him.
Fair enough.
It's completely insane. There's no logic to the movie. There's no, it's like a spoof. There's like ridiculous things. And it's a sequel to the first one. It's so good, man. I can't. And I love both of them. There's another one where I love Gremlins for the movie that it is. And I love Gremlins 2 for the movie that it also is.
All right. So I guess insane. What we're saying is in order to be a good sequel, you need to be so radically different from the first one that you could be a movie on your own.
Well, here's the thing. It's not necessary. It's just like it's so easy to fall into Teen Wolf 2, you know, category of Teen Wolf 2 is they took the script for Teen Wolf 1 and wherever it said basketball, they scratched it out and wrote boxing and then they shot that movie because it's literally the same exact movie except with his cousin played
by... And the same fat kids in it, right? And
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the other thing.
The same fat kids in it, but a different style.
Different styles. And
you couldn't get Styles. How the fuck could you not get? I'm sorry. How could Styles not come? What has Styles done?
And it's
since then.
What's his name? I can't. Arrested Development guy. I'm blanking on the name. But you know.
Yeah.
Talk about. Yeah. Anyway, he's in it, and yeah, his cousin goes to college. Like, here's the thing. Imagine you go to college, or you're. Your cousin goes to college with your best friend.
Jason
Why would
Bateman,
that happen?
By the way.
Why would that ever happen? Justin Bateman. Thank you. Yeah. I'm going to say David something. I couldn't remember why I couldn't think of his name. So that would be, anyway, horrible. Okay. Here's another one that almost doesn't count, but totally different, is Christmas Vacation. I don't want to spend too much time on it because we talked about it in our Christmas episode.
Yeah.
But super weird that it's like Vacation, great movie. European Vacation, step down. As most sequels are, and then usually each one's like another step down. For some reason, it's like a weird zigzag where Vacation, European Vacation, it's all right, but it's not great.
Yeah.
Christmas Vacation, great. Maybe better than Vacation. It's tough because they're so different that it's hard to like really, you know, put them side by side. Great. And then Vegas Vacation is this gigantic drop off the end of the map.
Why do you think with that series of movies, as far as the kids were concerned, they're just like, fuck it.
Yeah, fuck it.
Well, different kids.
Well, I think it's weird because...
Different ages. Different, like, completely different...
Well, the second movie, they're different kids, but they're still, like, roughly... They're, you know, they're kind of the same. Like, that kid in European Vacation kind of looks like Anthony Michael Hall, like, sort of. You see it. Then the third one, they were like, okay, now suddenly Audrey's older with no explanation. Looks completely different. Yeah. That other kid is totally different.
And then by Vegas, she's, like, kind of hot.
Not only is she kind of hot, she's, like, kind of Asian, I think, which makes no sense. How did Beverly D'Angelo and Chevy Chase have an Asian kid? That doesn't make any sense. But I love the fact they were like, ah, fuck it. Because the other kid also has red hair.
Yeah.
That's the kid from, what's the oh, I can't think of it, Empire Records. I think of Empire Records, who's, like, red hair. How did Chevy Chase... Okay, doesn't matter. Anyway, Christmas Vacation, great movie. And... Here's the thing. Vacation, European Vacation, Vegas Vacation, they're off on a road trip doing a thing. Christmas Vacation, completely different.
Yeah.
They're in the house the whole time, and it's a completely different movie. More or less, yeah. But, I mean, I'm saying, they don't go on a road trip.
Yeah.
So they didn't just, like, repeat, you know, the thing. They did it, and it's great. Yeah, I would have to say that doing a different, like, doing basically a different thing, like, helps a lot. You know what I mean? If you're just like, well, we're going to take it in a different direction, and, you know... I think that helps because otherwise you're just sort of repeating or you're run the risk of just kind of repeating the same types of jokes that everyone's already seen.
You can vaguely get away with it when you're doing sketch comedy where you're doing essentially the same thing. You know, like you get, for some reason, the sketch that comes to mind is the Appalachian Hospital thing where I don't know why that one comes to mind, but like Amy Poehler would essentially come in and be something, what ridiculous thing happened to her this week? And even that starts to get old, but when they evolve, like when you evolve the people and actually make them go off and do something else and go, well, if this was true before, then what else is true? Then you actually it makes for a good comedy sequel. And again, I think from what I'm hearing with The Hangover is that's the problem with it, is that they were just like, oh, let's just do it again. But most people wanted to just see it happen again. I just think they thought they'd evolve more.
Well, the other thing is that, you know, it's a little tough because The Hangover obviously is very high concept.
Yeah.
You know, it isn't like they really, it could have been any characters. I mean, they did a great job of making great characters that you cared about, but it was the idea of they wake up and they have no idea what happened the night before and they got to piece it all together.
Yeah.
You know, and now it's like, okay, now they go on a picnic and they remember everything. Like, it'd be like, well, that's not quite what I wanted to see. You know, that's not, yeah. You know, it wasn't a character study. And I'm so curious of what's going to happen to Zach Galifianakis' character. Where's he going to go after this? Like, you know, it's sort of a high concept thing. Although Ghostbusters, also super high concept, obviously. And, you know, I care so much what happens. Those guys, that's why I'm kind of upset that, like, you know, I want Bill Murray to be with, you know,
yeah,
the lady. Why is he not with her? Dana is her name. That's what upsets me about Back to the Future. I mean, Ghostbusters 2. It's like, why are they not together? Why is she having a kid with some other guy? What?
Yeah.
What? They should be married and have forever, just having sarcastic babies.
He saved her from being a dog.
I know.
That means you get to, you know, you get to screw up a bunch of times if you save somebody from being an evil hell dog.
Yeah. Although, that's what I think. You wouldn't, without Ghostbusters 2, you wouldn't have that great scene in the courtroom where Rick Moranis says, "One time I tried to do a dog and they saved me. Thank you." That's his entire argument in the courtroom. That is fantastic.
Yeah.
I do love when sequel movies point out how ridiculous the first movie was with a line like that. Yeah. Like, you know, like that's something that if you stop and think about it, that Rick Moranis' character has to live with for all his life is he turned into a dog at one point. Yeah. And that's something like when he's on his deathbed, be like, "This one time I turned into a dog. It was pretty weird. I'm not going to lie to you. There's only one other person on earth who knows what I'm talking about, and she's a super hot lady."
Right. And we don't ever hang out, really.
Yeah,
which is odd.
You would think. You would think there'd be a support group for people who turned into dogs, but then there's not. I guess there's only two of us. Here's another one that I'm not super jazzed about, but definitely has its lovers, is okay. Adam's Family Values. People love the subplot where they're at the camp, and there's like they do a play, and then it's supposed to be like Thanksgiving play. But then the two Addams Family kids play Indians, and then they kill all the pilgrims and burn the village down in the play. They don't actually do it, of course. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, that would presuppose that you like the Addams Family concept, which I never did.
You don't like the concept of it?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I was never into that, like...
That they're just, like, creepy and they're kooky, mysterious and ooky.
Yeah,
they're
and everybody was just
oh,
like...
No, I screwed it up. Anyway.
Everybody was just like, kind of cool with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I feel like if you're going to go like, okay, these are modern times, whatever. Like, I just don't think everybody would be as cool with it as they were. I think, like, the kids would have been taken away by now.
That's true. That's a movie I would see if protective services took the children away from those obviously weird people who have a hand that just walks around.
Right. I think that's one of the things that child services looks for.
Yeah.
If you have a free-roaming hand in your house anywhere... you don't get kids.
Was that Thing? Was that his name? Thing was the hand?
Was Thing the hand or was the thing covered in hair?
Yeah, that's what I was kind of thinking. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
We'll worry about that later. I mean, I guess Toy Story 2 and 3 are, you know, I mean, those are all good movies. They're
comedies.
They're comedies, sort of.
Anything with a Randy Newman theme in it, though, I think just ends up being a movie, not a comedy. Sorry. Deal with it.
Airplane 2, which I only mentioned because it's pretty good. I mean, it's pretty, but here's the thing.
That's one in outer space?
Yeah, it's on the space shuttle. I mean, that's a spoof movie. So, like, yeah, basically the same thing happens except they go in outer space.
Yeah.
They did one really super smart thing. They got William Shatner to be awesome in it so that all his scenes are amazing. I don't mean to just repeat scenes, but the thing where he's in the TV screen and the guy's talking to him and then he opened it turns out he's just behind the door the whole time. Oh, so great. So the Zucker brothers and Abrams, the guys who did Airplane, this is what I found out watching listening to the commentary track for Airplane. Not only do they have nothing to do with Airplane 2, which I didn't know, they've never seen it.
I think you've mentioned that before. Yeah, that just
which is crazy. If there was a sequel to a movie that you made, how do you not just go, well, I gotta see what it's like? They have never seen it.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, like, they're all on their super high horse about, no, we don't make a sequel to Airplane, but we'll do Naked Gun 2 and 3. Let's, you know, come on, guys. You're a little, you know.
Yeah, because here's why I don't understand that. I will periodically Google myself.
Yeah.
And in the time that I've been Googling myself, probably in the last 2 years, I have discovered maybe two articles ever.
Uh-huh.
And yet I do it pretty frequently.
Yeah.
So if somebody like myself can't help but do that, knowing that there's not going to be anything there, then I would think that somebody who actually is going to see stuff there would be doing it all the time because there's constantly new stuff. Yeah. And if there's like, oh, there's a movie based on the thing that you did, yeah. Sign me
you're
up for it.
See it. Yeah. Yeah, you might not be happy with it, but you're gonna see it at least, right?
I got Netflix. They got Netflix. Assistant.
Oh man.
Anyway,
that's weird. Well, we talked about Naked Gun 2.5.
Yeah.
Naked Gun 3 1/3. No, mm-hmm. 33 1/3. Right.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. They're all pretty good. I don't remember what happens in each one, so I can't say for sure.
And you shouldn't.
It all kinds of runs together, right? As they're supposed to.
OJ
is that the one where he's trying to
OJ
save...
OJ gets beat up a lot.
Is he trying to save the queen in the second one, or is that the first one? At the baseball game.
I think that's the first one.
That's the first one at the baseball game? Okay, then I do not remember what happens in the other two, because that's all I remember. But
nobody knows.
Weird Al's in all three, so there you go. Back to the Future 2 and 3, great movies. It's not really a comedy, though, so I think we can...
Yeah.
I mean, it's a comedy, don't get me wrong, but nobody's like, oh, ho, ho, just guffawing and slapping their knee. There's much more to Back to the Future than that. Ghostbusters 2 we talked about. All right, let's start getting into some of the rougher ones.
Yeah.
Revenge of the Nerds 2, Nerds in Paradise. Now, here's a weird one where, for whatever reason, when I was in the junior high area... That thing was on TV all the time.
Mm-hmm. Is that the one where they stayed in Hotel Coral Essex?
Yes. And then what does it turn into?
Hotel Sex?
Yes, thank you. you're so excited that you knew that. Yeah, so I've seen Revenge of the Nerds once that I remember. I've seen Nerds in Paradise probably numbered about 10 times. That booger finds that guy in the hotel room who's like super booger and
the old Asian guy that's in everything when you want a comedic Asian man. but for me, and I know this is gonna sound geeky or whatever, we're talking about Revenge of the Nerds. All I remember about that movie, I remember the Hotel Coral Essex and the music number. And that's it, and that's like, that's enough.
It
that will always be in my memory when they're playing like the electric violin and and rocking out, and that's good enough. And that and the dude who eventually went on to ER is in it for like 4 minutes.
That's great. Yeah, he shows up. Does he show up as like a ghost or not a ghost? But like,
no, but like he's injured and he's like calls a dream. Him periodically. It's very
Anthony Edwards.
Yeah, he's very like, I've somehow gotten a little bit too big, but I feel like I should.
That's always a problem though. You always tell the problem with sequels when like there's one guy's like, I'm good on this. Wesley Snipes in Major League 2.
Yeah.
He was like, I'm good, thanks.
Here's what I feel weird about that, and I don't remember the exact chronology or whatever, but I feel like Corbin Burnson was still bigger than Wesley Snipes was at that time. Maybe he had done a Blade and he started taking himself a little too seriously, but it's like, but you gotta think to yourself, like, if he had done Major League 2, maybe he's not in jail right now.
Maybe. Although I think he had to think like Wesley Snipes probably pulling down like a murder at 1600, so he's like, "I'm starting with Hackman, everybody. There's a murder. Here's the thing: 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. It's the address that changes all the rules. Oh, also, did I mention always bet on black? Did I forget about Passenger 57? Because that's what I'm doing right now. So you know, I mean, Charlie Sheen was huge. So
do you
know
how many people
the second one?
Do you know how many people have seen Passenger 57?
Yeah,
yet. Everybody knows always bet on. Everybody knows always bet on black. There's nobody I know that doesn't know that.
Can I tell you that I saw Passenger 57 in the movie theater, and I don't know why, but I know that I saw it. And I remember when he said always bet on black, the audience erupted.
Yep,
they were like, yeah! "That guy's black, and you should bet on him." Woo. Teen Wolf 2, obviously, Michael J. Fox is like, I got a little something called Back to the Future. Might have heard of it.
Yeah.
I'm good. I'm going to stay here.
What was Styles doing that he couldn't do that fucking movie?
Styles guy. Police Academy 2. Oh, no. He comes. Or was it 3? Which one was the Gutenberg, like, I'm too big for Police Academy? Maybe he was back for 2.
I think he was back for 2.
It was 3 where he was like, I'm good. also short circuit to, Gutenberg's like, nah, I'm good, thank you. Hey, here's a weird sequel thing. This has nothing to do with anything, but it just made me think of it. Do you know, and when I say it, you're going to be like, oh, yeah, it's true. There's never been a sequel to a Will Ferrell starring vehicle.
Huh.
They're trying to get Anchorman 2.
Yeah, but the network is pretty much
But think of
now.
Every other Will Ferrell movie.
Yeah.
There's never been a sequel, which seems crazy because all his movies are like huge, or at least most of them.
They wrote an old school too, and both everybody involved in it was like,
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, yeah. Like, well, Will Ferrell also is big enough to be like, nah, because I think they wrote an Elf 2 as well, and he was like, nah, let's not bother. But yeah, but that still seems weird. You think at some point.
So there isn't a Blades of Glory 2.
I just report, Dustin. I can't there tell isn't, you.
You're telling me there's no Semi-Pro 2
I don't
coming
know
out next summer.
I don't have to tell you, but no, there's neither of those things. Well, that's the thing. Like, The Hangover 2 is a funny thing. I was thinking about that, too, because huge movie, right?
Yeah.
But still, all three of those guys, not quite big enough to say no.
No.
Right? Even though they were in the largest R-rated comedy of all time, still kind of needed to say yeah.
Yeah.
Right, to that movie?
Well, I mean, Bradley Cooper will do whatever the fuck you ask him to do, really.
Yeah.
I mean, and, like, he's great in things. I love Bradley Cooper, but he will do a lot of stuff that he probably shouldn't do.
He's a working actor. Yeah. He's a working, you know.
Zach Galifianakis is the only one who I thought would have potentially said no, but...
He's in.
Yeah.
Because
I think with him, he got to be like... I'm going to say whatever shit I feel like. Is that cool?
Yeah.
And then they're like, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
That's why the first one worked.
Here's a good one that I forgot. Not great, but good. Wayne's World 2.
Yeah.
An enjoyable movie. You can watch it. They're putting together a Woodstock-style thing. Always funny. Aerosmith shows up.
Yeah. So does the dude from The Doors, although he's dead.
Oh.
When he goes into the dream sequence?
Right. Jim Morrison. Not the actual Jim Morrison.
Right, no, not the actual Jim Morrison.
Another man playing Jim Morrison.
But the naked Indian takes him over to see Jim Morrison.
And then Tom Hanks is in it, and he's very funny.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
And then he referenced that part on Saturday Night Live, like, 20 years after the fact. Like, but me would be like, oh, my God, Wayne's World 2, I know what you're talking about. Sybilis.
Kim Basinger? Whatever?
Basinger?
Yeah. Isn't she in it? Isn't she like the femme fatale?
I guess so. I don't know. Oh, Rob Lowe's in it too.
Yeah.
In the second one, I think. Yeah. That all makes sense. Other ones are a little rough. Okay. Let's talk about Porky's 2. So Porky's 2, real quick. So
I didn't see it.
I know. So the first Porky's is serviceable. Let's call it that. It's got its moments.
Yeah.
It's a little dated at this point, but, you know.
As it should be. It was made in, like, 83.
Yeah. So the thing with Porky's 2 is it seemed like they had, like, 7 scenes figured out. And we're like, guys, we got to fill up 90 minutes of this thing. So I saw Porky's 2. At one point, I was like, I'm a comedy nerd. I just got to see every comedy movie, like, ever. So I rented Porky's 2. This is back in the day when you would go to a video store, get the video, watch it. So there's a scene where, for reasons I can't remember, the woman has, like, milk bottles, like, on her breasts. So, like, milk comes out of them. And she's like, oh, the milk is spraying uncontrollably. And she, like, turns and sprays everyone in the restaurant, like, on one side. And then turns and sprays everyone in the restaurant on the other side. And then goes, I can't stop. Turns around and sprays everyone on the first side again. I was like, wait a minute. This goes on for 7 straight minutes. I was like, hold on. You already did that side. You can't turn around and do the first side again. They literally were just like, guys, we gotta. I just imagine the director behind the camera like, keep going. Keep stretch. Like, it's terrible. Yeah, that is the worst. And then they made a third
one. We have 42 minutes worth of script.
And I just started, fast forwarding of like, oh my God. And there's a third one, which I was like, I'm out on the Porky's franchise. Thank you, everyone. Yeah. But yeah. Caddyshack 2, you don't get Bill Murray or Chevy Chase or Rodney Dangerfield or Ted Knight. But let's do it anyway. Is what happened there. It was Dan Aykroyd.
You know, Jackie Mason was the one who was...
Jackie Mason took over the Rodney Dangerfield.
Yeah.
It was... what's his name? From Christmas Vacation. Why am I so bad with names tonight?
Randy Quaid.
Randy Quaid was the sort of Chevy Chase character, and then Dan Aykroyd was the Bill Murray character, and I don't even remember. I do know who it is, but I don't know his name. I mean, no one's in the movie. Literally, yeah. They made the whole movie with not a single person came back. Crazy town. Why? Yeah. Just give up, guys. You're not gonna make a sequel. Live with it.
Don't get me wrong. There was a time where I really liked Jackie Mason.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if he's, I don't think there's anything wrong with being a Jackie Mason fan. He cannot carry a movie.
Mm-hmm.
He should not be made to carry a movie.
Yeah.
Well, it is not what he does.
We all learned that in 87 with Caddyshack 2.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone else is asking him to carry a movie.
Yeah.
Since then. Dustin, we are out of time, so I'm going to quickly just say Big Top Pee Wee.
Yep. There's no need for that.
Weird sequel to a classic. Three Men and a Little Lady.
Really no need for
there
that.
There in England. Can I just say Three Men and a Baby? Does no one remember that there's a subplot about heroin trading? About gangsters with heroin?
I do not.
I know, that seems crazy when you think about it, but there's a shootout at the end. This is Three Men and a Baby. Do you know what I'm trying to say to you? And there's gangsters selling
heroin. You're
saying
protect your baby better.
Hot Shots Parts Deux, which...
That was funny.
Oh, very funny. Man, those hilarious jokes about the first Gulf War really play today. Really working. Good job, guys. Keeping it really, universal and everything. Ace Ventura, When Nature Calls. Here's one where... And maybe he's a little too much of a nice guy. I don't know. But Jim Carrey was already Jim Carrey by the time they were making the second one.
Yeah, he could have easily not done that movie.
But here's the thing. Basically, the director was like, could you do it for me? And Jim Carrey was like, conceivably, I would not be who I am today without the first movie.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to be a nice guy. And I'll do the second one.
And he
one.
Committed to it, man.
Out of gratitude, because he didn't need to. There was absolutely no reason for him to do that. It's not like he came back for... Dumb and Dumber anything, the second one of that, which was, I still can't believe that happened, but that's another story. He was like, all right, I'll come back. I'll do it for you. So yeah. Jim Carrey, nice guy. I think that's a nice thing to
and
do.
And that wasn't a bad sequel. I mean, that was a decent, by the time it happened, it felt a little like we had matured beyond that.
Yeah.
But if you hadn't, it was good. if you watch the first one now, and you love it, you will love the second one.
Yeah.
That's.
Do not go in there. That's all I'm going to say. He didn't want you to go in there. I thought that was pretty clear. Meet the Fockers and also, what was it? Meet the Fockers and then Little Fockers.
Yeah.
That was it.
Interesting fact. No one saw Little Fockers.
Yeah.
No one on the planet has seen that movie. Only the people who edited it.
Also, the joke is it sounds like fuckers. And that was on billboards all over America. I don't understand how this country works sometimes. Oh, but by the way, maybe a gay dude wants to get married. Oh, let's freak the fuck out. But you're a fucker on a giant billboard. We don't care. This country, whatever. Clerks 2, 20 years after the fact for no reason. Super weird. I think that might be about it, Dustin.
All right.
For our sequel.
So you sort of broken down what makes for a good and bad sequel.
Do something.
And gone over some.
I think do something different is
the simple
explanation here.
Yeah. So I'm assuming Bridesmaids is listening. Kristen Wiig is listening.
Do it. Or
she emails us all the time. So
yeah. Or Bridesmaids in Space. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm just spitballing. Yeah. Let's not make a big deal. I'm not married to the idea. I'm just saying. They're in outer space. Oh, and also aliens are chasing them. Bad aliens.
All right.
Not aliens from the movie Aliens.
And in this one, we don't find out until most of the way through that Kristen Wiig is a robot.
Yes. Yeah. Well, she rips her face off. And then there's just circuitry underneath.
Yep.
So, and also the whole time she was Kaiser Soze.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other thing. You find out. The robot was Kaiser Soze.
Yeah.
And they're in outer space.
But do me a favor. If you want to... Bring the guy from Police Academy back into it.
Which guy?
The guy who makes the noises.
Oh, Michael Winslow.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah. Oh, yeah. So, because there'd be a hilarious scene where they think that the airlock gave way.
Right.
And they're all going to die. And it's just him making it sound like the airlock gave way. It's just Michael Winslow. And he comes out from the side. That actually would be hilarious. He was not in the whole movie and just at that point just stood up behind the console and was like, it's me, Michael Winslow, from Police Academy. I'm going to go. I'm just going to go right now. And he just leaves.
Right. So it's safe to say that don't make a Bridesmaid 2 unless it's in outer space and Michael Winslow's thing.
Yeah. And then Chris Wiig just goes, Michael Winslow, everyone. And everyone just claps. and then get back to the movie. Now, these are all good ideas. I'm just saying, call me, Hollywood, you got my number. You know what to do.
Right. You have our number.
I'm just here
you
to
have
help.
Our number.
My number, whatever, our number, it's the same thing. Let's not make a big deal out of that.
Right.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Become a fan on our Facebook, whatever the fuck. Follow us on Twitter. Go to thecommonnerds.com.
Do all that fun stuff.
Team. It's always a good time. Write a review on iTunes if you like what you hear, please. We got a couple of nice ones recently. Thank you so much. If you've already done it, we super appreciate it. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Dan McInerney.
I'm Dusty Adana.
This has been The Comedy Nerds, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye. You've been listening to The Comedy Nerds. If you have any questions or comments, please email us at info@thecomedynerds.com. Check out our website at thecomedynerds.com, where you can comment on any past episodes. And if you enjoyed this show, please write a review in iTunes and tell the world how awesome we are. For Dustin and myself, thank you for listening.